you for joining us today.
Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good
morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you again. We'll wait, I think, 1 or 2 minutes, if that's okay, for more folks to join.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Yeah, it looks like right now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 members of the commission currently on. Jill, we do have a quorum, technically. We have 12 members total on the board, right, on the commission right now. And it looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 commission members.
Okay, terrific. Well, then let's call the meeting to order at 8:03 a.m. And if Jeffrey could do roll call, that would be great. Please.
Zachary Baker. Maureen Blakemore. Jill Brown.
I'm so sorry. Jill and Jeffrey, I forgot to let everybody know that Maureen Blakemore is no longer with FAMLA and she's not on the commission any longer.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jill Brammer, did you stay here?
I'm here. Yeah, still here.
Thank you. Dale Calvert.
Here.
Glenn Grabsky.
Here.
Bram Hughes.
Here.
Janine Mortimer.
Here.
Kathy Rivers.
Here.
Alexis Ryland. Jim Sayer. Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Yenser.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Okay, do we have anyone in the audience? If we do, speak up.
There is someone as an unknown user, unidentified.
Hello, this is Valeria. My name wasn't called. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Hey, Valeria.
Hi. I don't know if I'm an unidentified person or not.
Your name shows up.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's four, it says on my little list of unknown users.
Yep.
Any unknowns? Do you guys want to talk as audience? All right, that feels like a no. Okay, so we could move on to, do we have anyone who wants to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
I read and moved to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Graham. Do we have a second?
Dale Calvert, I'll second it.
Thank you, Dale. Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. No chair report from me. So item six, election of chairperson.
Thank you, Jill. And to the entire commission, we can take this opportunity to nominate and elect a new chairperson. As everyone is aware, Jill, this is your last meeting, I understand. Is that correct, Jill?
It is. I termed out. I didn't know about FAMA not having anybody. And I don't know. Do you know if Karen has appointed anybody for Ward 6?
No, I have not heard of anybody replacing or being nominated for an open commission member seat.
Okay, because I did talk to her about it. So, yeah, this will be my last, like, official meeting. But, I mean, I'll probably still come. But, I mean, if there's no one from FAMA or Ward 6, I'll still come to the meetings. You know what I mean? But I won't be official.
Okay. Great. And if the group is not ready to elect a chairperson, we don't necessarily have to do that today. We can defer that to the next meeting. So,
does anybody want to be chair? Like, is anybody interested in volunteering?
That sounds like a no, Jill.
That felt like a no. All right. Well, y'all think about it because it's just really easy. You know, I mean, you just follow the agenda and sometimes, you know, with Tom and Jeffrey, you go over the minutes beforehand to make sure they're correct from the last meeting and talk about agendas. Otherwise, you know. But I think that this commission is full of really smart and committed people. So whoever does it, I think will be just great. So, all right, you guys postpone till next meeting, the election of chairperson, on to the administrator's report.
Great. Thank you so much, Jill. For on-street parking meter status report, currently 141 meters out of service. We recently received a pallet of 170 plus meters returned and repaired from our provider, and over 250 batteries, our backup batteries are in our stock. So this week is going to be an aggressive week to hit the meters. We know that the attention will be on the parking meters, especially starting June 2nd. So we're going to dedicate more hours than usual to our parking meter repairs this week. And our supervisor and our repair technician will be handling that. For the PSA parking service agent staffing levels, recently two agents resigned, unfortunately. We have five openings right now. The posting of the positions is on a temporary hold. These positions are considered a priority at the top of the list for the department. However, there is a hiring frost is the term that's being used. It's not a freeze. It's a temporary pause in hiring with the city. Due to the city's current pay adjustments for current employees. So the city is proposing, and they have begun, a three-tiered step for pay adjustments. That includes an in-range pay adjustment for current employees, and then a market rate adjustment actually two of those coming later this year. So during this process, the city has decided to just do a temporary pause. It is the plan is in place and it is finalized. So we should have that frost lifted any day now. But our HR department is well aware that we are in need of hiring and we are a priority. Okay, and then moving on to the monthly permit parking availability. I wanted to share what the current facility permit availability looks like. So I'm just going to share something momentarily here. Thank you for your patience. So we have a list of our monthly garage and lots that we offer monthly permit parking availability. You can see that Pennington and City State Garage have the most availability by far. Those are the two garages that you can just sign right up and get a spot. Centro and Depot have five each. We do expect the availability to increase during the summer. So these numbers of available parking permits should grow. And then you can see the six facilities on the bottom of the list have a wait list. And you can see the library garage, very popular with folks wanting to park there. Franklin lot, very popular. Tool lot. And Paseo Redondo is also a very sought after parking lot. That's a smaller parking lot. But Library, Franklin, Paseo Redondo, those are really close to city center, and many of the county, city, state employees use those lots. And then you'll see Warehouse and Arts District lot. We're right on full capacity with no wait list. So we're right there. We could probably sell one in each of those right now. So just a little snapshot of our current availability, and I'll take any questions on these items.
Okay, that sounds good. So we're done with the administrator's report. Does anybody have any questions on that? All right, moving on to extension of meter hours and Mercado District.
Thank you. I'm just going to share the meter enforcement communication plan that we have been following during this process. And the first thing, just to review what the communications have looked like, a flyer has been created. Which has been issued to residents and business owners. The website has been created and posted. A press release has been issued. Social media posts have been issued, and additional social media posts are scheduled for this Wednesday and Friday, as well as next Monday when the hours go into effect. Merchant and neighborhood meetings. I had the privilege of attending the Menlo Park Neighborhood Association meeting a couple weeks ago. I did share the information at that meeting. They invited me to share information about the residential permit program due to the fact that due to increased development and future development around and near the Menlo Park neighborhood. And that includes Mercado District, of course, ever-growing with businesses and development of parking, and also future residential complexes, high-capacity residential complexes that are scheduled to be built in the Menlo Park neighborhood. So a few neighbors and specific blocks were interested in hearing about the program, and I provided information about that, so they know how to apply. They're currently, Menlo Park is not in that program, so this would be a first for them. But anyways, shared information about that program and took the opportunity to share information about the parking meter plan. Media interviews have been conducted. KOLD conducted an interview, and I also spoke with Tucson Sentinel and Citizen. And every major television news outlet in town did post a story about the meter extension. This is a more or less the same list. And we're available, as always, to field questions and to provide information. I did receive several emails, about six emails, after the information was distributed. Five out of the six were negative and asking for a change. Three of those were from the Aveda Institute, and I'm going to respond to those emails. One of the emails was positive with support for that program. And I just want to share what these communications look like. Stand by one moment. So this is our flyer. Extended meter hours effective June 2nd. And this QR code provides a link to our website. Here's what the news release looked like. And once again, thank you to the entire group for providing this and sharing this information with your stakeholders. But the news release was short and sweet, talked about the reason why here and a little bit of background. And our website, let me get to that. Oops, sorry. Really proud of our website. Have a lot of information included here. The new hours are listed compared to the current hours. We state that the 4th Avenue District will not have a meter extension. I actually received a phone call from Time Market on University and 3rd asking what district they are in. They are in the 4th Avenue District, so the meters around Time Market will be extended on June 2nd. And background information and frequently asked questions are included in the website. As far as the Mercado parking plan, we have met with Mercado recently, and the plan is to install the pay stations this week. It's cutting a little close, but all the configuration settings, we worked with IPS, the company that produces the payment machines, and all of that has been set up. You can see on the map that there are going to be eight parking kiosk locations and two 15-minute parking spots, complimentary free 15-minute parking spots will be available at each of the four major buildings, or three major buildings, sorry, at the Mercado area. One area I want to point out, to the north and south of Paseo de los Zonjeros, just to the east of the main buildings, there are two undeveloped dirt parking lots that Mercado does use. These will be controlled starting June 2nd. We feel that visitors will try to find free parking in every nook and cranny around the area when June 2nd rolls around. So there will be barriers placed at these lots. The future plan for these lots are to develop them into full parking facilities. One area will have potentially a four-level parking structure, and one would be a surface parking lot. So you can see right now they are in use, and Mercado is well aware that they have to control that, so folks pay for parking. And with that, I'll take any questions.
I have a quick question, Thomas. Do they plan on, when you say they're going to control the vacant lots, like block them off, or they're going to charge their own, they're going to deal with, you know what I mean? Are they
going to
charge? Okay.
But which so they're going to do both. They typically set up, Mercado does have a pay by app program. So when they charge for parking, they have their signs up with the app, and the lots will be open. They do tend to staff the lots too during special events, especially when they're selling parking. But when they're not selling parking, the plan is to block them off with barricades.
Okay, thank you.
I also failed to mention the sign changes. You will see on the parking restriction signs around downtown that new stickers have been placed on the signs with the new hours. This is temporary. I have to admit the signs don't look wonderful. We are going to do a better job when we permanently replace the signs. Right now it's stickers only. We do have to go back and readjust some of the stickers that were not as professionally installed as we would like. But you will see those. We are also taking inventory of what we call the one-off signs. And those would be some commercial loading zones, passenger loading zones that do indicate the current hours of Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So some of the signs we do feel will not be changed over by June 2nd, but we're working as soon as possible to get all the signs changed over. And we're looking forward to that. Lindsay Salcido, who is on the call today with our communications team, is assigned to Park Tucson and has been working really well with us in getting the message out. We've talked about social media and additional outreach. Amanda Valenzuela, who was assigned to Park Tucson for communications, has left her job with the city. She's moved on. But Lindsay Salcido will be assigned to us now, and we're excited about that.
Is Lindsay on this call? Oh, there she is. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okie doke. So does that wrap it up for item number 8?
Yes.
Great. Let's move on to number 9, letter to mayor and council regarding Park Tucson and transit funding.
Excellent. Let me just get our agenda back on the screen here. Sorry, guys. Just so we have something to look at. I don't have a visual for this item. I'm going to talk through it. So in a previous commission meeting, it was brought up by commission members that the commission is interested in writing a letter to mayor and council regarding Park Tucson revenue and transit funding. Mayor and council has been talking about it during the budget process, ways to provide additional support for the transit budget, and several ideas were shared by mayor and council. One of them includes Park Tucson revenue and using some of that to cover some of the expenses from transit. The transit budget is approximately $100 million a year. Park Tucson's annual budget is approximately $5 million a year. So you can understand the disparity there. Over the years, it's my understanding that Mayor and Council has brought up this idea before of Park Tucson revenue assisting transit, but it has never gone forward. Once again, Park Tucson revenue is only one of several ideas that Mayor and Council asks staff to look into. In the June Mayor and Council meeting, I believe the first meeting in June, staff will present information about the ideas, the revenue generating ideas that Mayor and Council brought up. I do want to share with you what the steps are in writing a letter and submitting it. Just have to pull up my notes here. So in order for the commission to address this, the letter must be agendized on the commission agenda, and the commission needs to vote in order to send a letter. And the vote can sound something like, we, the commission, vote to send a letter to Mayor and Council about XYZ. And I understand that one of the points of the letter might be the fact that we, Park Tucson, is going forward with extending hours. And one of the ideas brought forth by Mayor and Council is to additionally extend the hours again, or to raise on-street parking prices. So anyways, that was my understanding of what the meat of the letter would be about. The commission should state that which members are going to assist in writing the letter. So once the commission votes to send a letter about the topic, at the following meeting, the letter is shared with the commission. So there would be an author of the letter, or two authors or three authors of the letter from the commission, and the letter is shared during the next meeting. A vote would need to occur to approve that letter or make changes to the letter. And then once the letter is approved, the commission must vote again to send the letter. The letter can be provided to staff. Staff will then contact boards and commissions, who would advise us to send it to Mayor and Council directly or through the CMO office. I believe there's also an option for the commission to send it directly themselves. But either way, staff or the commission can send it directly. The last point is that staff is not to assist in writing the letter. So that is essentially what the steps are for this letter. And if the commission would like to, you can take a vote today to send the letter and to assign the authors of the letter. And I'll take any questions.
Zach?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. So is there an opportunity, or let me back up a little bit, Tom, maybe you can walk us through this. Is there an opportunity for that vote of the commission to be an electronic vote? In other words, let's say the motion's made, it's voted on today, we know who the people are who are going to write the letter gets written by the end of the week, gets sent out to the commission. Is the commission able to do an electronic vote to meet that requirement to be able to send the letter to Mayor and Council ahead of the June 5th meeting next week?
Thanks, Zach. The vote to send the letter to approve it must be held during an official meeting where the public is able to access the meeting. So electronically, it could be during a virtual meeting, but it can't be an electronic vote where the public is not able to hear the vote.
We have had special meetings in the past for things like this.
I have no problem scheduling a special meeting if you'd like.
Madam Chair, can I ask a follow-up question?
Absolutely.
I think this is really a really important issue for the commission to weigh in on. I think my concern is that unless we call a special meeting and really, you know, accelerate this, our input won't be formally received by Mayor and Council until after the budget is passed. And Tom, correct me, or staff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think June 5th is that public hearing. So they've set the limits at the last meeting. June 5th will be the last public hearing. And then I think that would be June 19th. Am I mathing right? June 19th would probably be when they would pass it before the fiscal year. Is that correct?
I believe the dates in June are June 3rd and the 17th, if I'm not mistaken. I will double check that. But I believe the 3rd and the 17th are the dates.
Yes, Tom, you are correct. My apologies. So 3rd and I have a different meeting on my mind for the 5th. The 3rd and the 17th. So our regular commission meeting would not allow us to submit this input before the budget gets passed.
Correct. I do know that the budget draft right now does not include the additional ideas or additional revenue ideas that were brought up. The budget as presented does cover transit without charging a fare for the transit services. So my understanding is that the budget proposed would not include the ideas, the revenue sharing ideas that the Mayor and Council has asked staff to look into.
Thanks, Tom. That's helpful.
You're welcome.
So I'm a little at a loss for what our next steps are. Schedule a special meeting?
We can vote to send a letter and to hold a special meeting, or I can, at the commission's request, schedule a special meeting and vote then. If the goal is to review the letter at that special meeting, we would have to vote today to send the letter.
Correct. My personal opinion is that, yes, that should happen. But is there anybody who wants to write the letter, make a motion to have a meeting to write a letter?
Jill, it's Graham. Could I just ask a quick question? If listening to Tom and Zach, regardless of what the content of the letter is, from what I understood just from the conversation we just had, is that it will not impact this current budget cycle. So if we're working on a deadline of a June 17th council meeting, at which they approved the budget, yet based on the timing of our letter, these recommendations wouldn't be included in it. Is it worth the effort, special meetings, et cetera, just to have that voice heard if it's not going to be acted on? It's a general question for the group.
Mrs. Glenn, did you say that there was no plans, or are they still batting that around? And is there much of a chance of them reversing it, but not planning for this?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to answer that confidently. All I know is, you know, the budget was prepared. The fact that, transit doesn't have a fare. The mayor and council were just trying to come up with additional ideas. They were not time-sensitive ideas for this budget. That's my understanding. So
they're two separate items. The letter and the budget schedule, or we can look at them separately.
Zach, is your hand up again or still?
It's up again. Thank you.
Okay, Zach, please.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're not at risk of having those fees increased this budget year. I'm wondering if we don't need to rush, but if we still take the motion and review a letter at the next commission meeting, even if it's a, hey, we're thankful that the mayor and council did not take this action this year, here's why we urge against it in the next budget cycle, and just speak to our work on the extension of the meter hours, so on and so forth. So try to get ahead of it, because they'll start looking at the budget again in the fall. And so maybe we still do the process, but not necessarily rush it through a special meeting if the issue is off the table, you know, for the rest of this fiscal year.
Jill?
I'm sorry, my mic was off, Dale.
Okay, no problem. I think I have two concerns here. One is, I think there is a possibility that a council person might make a motion to add something to the budget. That, from what I'm hearing, that's probably not likely. But with that in mind, I think Zach's idea of preparing a letter on the facts of our budget compared to the fact that, you know, among the things we have concern about is we have a plan, but we're still not in the black. We're getting there. We're making a lot of progress. I know we're going to talk about the financial statements later, but you know, the available money is not significant in reference to the transit, and I think Stack's idea of something, particularly avoiding the getting something in the works, so that if it comes back up in the fall, etc., when they look at this. But they're under a lot of pressure to find additional revenue to keep the free bus service going, and they that is an issue that can become out at virtually any time. But if they don't do it with this budget, and so there's some possibility that it'll come back. So I don't know. I think a letter that just emphasized our budget situation and where we're at would probably be, you know, and the fact that, and it, you know, there's opposition to the increases that we just did. Would be what we'd want to put into the letter, but I think we need to look at whether there's really support for that on this commission and go from there.
Tom, Madam Chair, I quickly just looked at a couple of the memorandi in the last study session, and it's looking like June 17th, they agendized, the city manager will bring forth some additional revenue options for mayor and council to look at. In one of the memoranda, it talks about that the mayor and council has purview to approve, such as the increase in parking fees, hotel motel tax and surcharge, so on and so forth. And I'm seeing in one of these memorandi that June 17th we'll have a study session discussion regarding additional and new revenue options. So that's kind of my quick kind of in meeting, just double check of some of the items in the last meeting, And so now I'm kind of wondering if the rush is back on. So to Dale's point, if there's interest in a letter, we may indeed want to look at calling a special meeting in the next week or two to approve that letter and get it sent.
Thank you, Zach. And also thank you, Dale. I think that that's important. I know that, I mean, we all know for years and years that the Park Tucson budget has been looked at as something to supplant, you know, shortfalls in transit or even general budget areas. And then, you know, we had that real difficult time over COVID when, I mean, my understanding is the then director of transportation kind of fumbled getting some extra money to Park Tucson. So I think doing that would be great. Dale?
One thing I forgot to mention in there is, of course, there's a history of parts of the transit. I don't want to say transit community. That's not a fair way to say it. But there is political support out there for creating higher parking fees to discourage people driving downtown. And that's been a subject in transportation for 20 years. And that's out there and it can raise its head at any time. I have always been a believer that we should try to build reasonable, adequate parking. It's the only way that the economic progress of downtown will move forward. But there is that other view out there, and we need to be aware of that. So that's all I wanted to add. We go from there. Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Sorry, I'm having issues with my microphone. Please go.
So we can move this to formal discussion. I would like to make a motion that staff guides us in scheduling a special meeting in time to review a letter to Mayor and Council before their June 17th study session. And then the motion includes that the commission writes a letter encouraging Mayor and Council to not increase the parking rates. Tom, I'm losing the other part of the motion. If the motion needs to include folks who are willing to help write it, I'll throw my name in the hat. And so I guess in that clunky motion, I guess we're looking for a second, but I'll put that motion out there.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. Is there any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Do we have any opposed? Or any abstentions? Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. So Zach has thrown his name in to help write the letter. Does anybody else have any interest?
I would be willing to help Zach with the letter, and it would be nice if we got one other person who could help us review that letter. Zach and I come from kind of similar backgrounds, so if there's any other feeling of somebody else wanting to look and make sure that we write something that's appropriate.
I think our chair should pick on someone who's not here at the meeting. I'm just kidding.
I don't even know who's not here, but I think Graham.
Yeah, quick question, Zach. When we talk about the basis of the letter being don't raise parking fees again in downtown and all the reasons why, are we also taking a position on transit, saying that the city, in an effort to maintain status quo with parking fees needs to reinstate fare-based transit as a viable solution to their budget crisis. Are we doing both those things with that letter, or are we just focusing on parking?
That was a whole other can of worms there.
That may be a step too far.
I would oppose us taking that position. I think we need to be dealing with the facts, the budget facts of the commission. Zach and I have been on that, had that discussion, as you probably well know, as I was until about 18 months ago a member of the Chamber of Commerce, but I think we at this point would be best to avoid that issue and deal with the basic facts of the budget and the fact that we would be talking about astronomical parking rate increases to make something that was even relevant. So
I'm not jonesing to do that. I was just asking the question if that was going to be part of it or not.
So any other comments on that, Zach?
Well, no, and I think I think our heads are matching on that. Imagine, I think it's really good that Dale is one of the co-writers, because in my head I was thinking we could share just logistically having a meter enforcement hour increase and a rate increase. I think it's just too much to bear. So I think that's one piece of the letter. The other is that as a commission, we've been making strategic efforts to plug the hole in our own boat as Park Tucson, and that there are some budget constraints and concerns that, you know, additional, you know, revenues need to, you know, fit into the five-year forecast and strengthening Park Tucson as an entity before we look at how anything that is in our jurisdiction gets pulled into the general fund as additional revenue to meet that $6 million hole that the city has. So to me, those are the two prongs of the letter, is really Park Tucson focused and just reiterating, here's the constraints we're working within and why using us as a revenue generator is just not going to work at this time.
Well said.
Okay. That said, then I'm happy to jump on as the third with Dale and Zach.
Oh, great. Thank you, Graham. And I just want to agree with the point of not conflating those two issues, because a lot of transit folks already want to conflate the two issues and they're very separate. I mean, unless we really, you know, dig deeper, and that's not our job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, y'all. So does then staff set the meeting?
Yes, whatever date you'd like me to set that for, I can do that.
Great. Well, I don't know if y'all want to decide right now or do that later.
Well, I think we need to decide now. Don't wait.
Tom?
Technically, you don't need, the commission does not need to decide now. I can send an email to the commission asking for the date. As long as I post the agenda, you know, before that special meeting, that's all that has to take place. But you technically don't need to do that now.
Okay. Then let's move forward. Zach, I did have one thing. Do you want to set up for the three of us a joint meeting, or do you want to put together a draft and send it out to the two of us and we look at it and say what we think needs to be changed and added?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm willing to do a quick draft, and then if the three of us want to meet on it afterwards or need to, maybe we can schedule it then.
Okay, well, we can communicate back and forth on just thoughts.
Sounds good.
Yes, you can. I would recommend email and not a meeting, because when multiple members come together to decide on business, it has to be open to the public. So I would recommend email
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
And right. just to make sure we've crossed all our T's, I think we should, the commission should hold a vote to designate the members who are going to assist with writing the letter.
That's fine. I'll make a motion that Zach Graham and Dale Calvert draft the letter.
Second.
Seconded by Graham. Thank you so much. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or any abstentions? Great. Passed. Thank you. Thank you guys for volunteering and doing that.
And thanks to Tinks.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I was just going to thank Tom for his rabbit trailing the last 3 weeks on boarding commission policy. It's its own beast, and I was unaware. So thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Heck yeah. All right, cool. Thanks, everyone. We can move on to budget. Or the financial report and then the capital expenditures after that.
Thank you. I'll hand it over to Trudy Payne.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Trudy.
Hello. All right. So I'm sharing my screen with the current financials for the 10th period ending. And it is very similar to last month's report. Not a lot has changed between revenues and expenditures. So overall, our revenues are up by 2% and our expenditures are up by 3%. And the biggest thing I found in our expenditures was the completion of the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Reinvestment Project. And that's what just increased them a little bit. But still, overall, we do have a surplus of $1.2 million for the end of April. And here is a quick pie chart of the revenues. Of course, what makes the most revenue are off-street parking. We do need to have another budget meeting with Park Tucson. We haven't had one for me to update the five-year plan that I presented last month, but in looking at the five-year plan, I'm not sure that we are going to come in at our targeted revenues. So overall, with all of the expenditures and revenues through April, we are still doing pretty good. We've brought in $4.1 million in revenue this year and have spent $3 million. Now, of course, a big thing that's going to hit this next month is going to be our debt service. So that's going to bring us up to this $955,000. So we'll be pretty close to our revenues, but we'll just have to watch it closely to make sure that we end where we thought we were going to end. And that was going to be in the black by $369,000 to eat away at some of that deficit from last year. That's about all I got. And I'll take any questions.
All right. Thank you so much, Trudy.
Sure.
Much appreciate. And then moving on to item 11, fiscal year 2026 capital expenditures planning.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, me either.
No, I am so sorry. So we must unmute. So sorry, guys. I'll start over again.
That was a long call.
I got bit by the microphone bug. So in looking forward to fiscal year 26 and the anticipated surplus that may occur, of course, based on the weather, you know, whether our activity is pans out to support our assumptions in being in the surplus. This in front of you is a menu of larger capital expenditure items that we could look at. These are baked into the 5-year plan, and some may come to fruition and some may not, based on how we're doing financially. So I just wanted to go through the list and explain some of the ideas. Some of these ideas have been on the wish list for 1 or 2 years already. Pennington garage repairs at $51,000. This is part of a 5-year plan that was presented by a consultant, Walker Consultants, in addressing parking facility maintenance, so ongoing maintenance. That plan has been deferred. It was supposed to start last year, this purchase for the Pennington garage repairs was deferred. Most of these repairs are superficial. They don't have anything to do with the structural integrity of the garage whatsoever, but it's just basic upkeep, crack filling, some outside repairs, aesthetics. Pennington was first on the list. Centro Garage and Depot Garage are also on the list for the next couple of years. Pennington Garage repairs at $51,000. New pay on entry equipment, $22,000. The pay on entry program that we provide is very successful. We want to continue it. The current equipment that we use consists of a cell phone and a credit card reader that plugs into the cell phone. That's called a Clover device. The new pay on entry equipment that we're looking at would integrate with our Scheid and Bachman parking revenue control system. The current system does not do that. And integrating with the system would allow for a lot more flexibility and a lot more analytics with reports and things like that. This handheld equipment is more robust than a cell phone and is designed for outdoor heavy use. Next would be LPR enforcement cameras. LPR is license plate recognition. And this was also deferred from last year. We were really hoping to purchase this year, but we just could not afford it. So LPR cameras, a series of four LPR cameras would be mounted on a vehicle. We are also looking at purchasing another vehicle. That's in the budget as well. I should have put that on the list, a new vehicle. This enforcement program would allow one of our enforcement officers to drive down the street. The camera would pick up license plates and restrictions in the area and compare the license plate against a permit database. For example, if you're in a permit area, we can quickly see if that license plate has a permit associated with it. And then for on-street parking restrictions, we would work with the company to map our curb with the parking restrictions and times and so forth. So it's pretty versatile, this equipment, and would really help with efficiency and getting a lot more done in a shorter amount of time. Parking service agent radios. Our agents do not have radios right now. I think that's a safety measure that we should take, and it would also help with communication and daily activities. Online parking meter reservation program at $5,000. You may recall last year I presented our soon-to-be-rolled-out online parking meter reservation program. We conducted a soft launch of that program with a few of the common requesters. And between the front end customer facing side and the back end. We are glad that we did a soft launch. We are not in favor of the program that was proposed. That didn't cost us anything. We worked with IPS, who provides our meters, to develop this program. So no money has gone into it, just time. But this new system would be provided by Passport. Passport provides our parking app, and it looks a lot better than the IPS system. It would cost $5,000, and there would be a per reservation fee that's passed on to the customer for that parking reservation program. And a parking meter text-to-pay mobile payment service of $5,000. This would actually be provided by IPS, and it would involve stickers being placed on signs or on the meters themselves, and it would be a five-digit number or a QR code to get to a website. Once you get to the website, you can enter your payment information. If you have an account on our app and already have a credit card and vehicle on your account, it would link to that, and you would just pay for your parking stay. And then at the bottom, just a note that an increase in security labor hours and rates are also expected. Although that's not a facility or fixed, you know, cost for a fixed item. Security labor is our most expensive aspect of our operation, north of $1 million a year. So Park Tucson has reduced security labor over the past year due to the budget situation, and we're looking to re-add those hours. We were forced to add an additional 42 hours a week from mid-April to the end of May, due to increased nefarious activity occurring in the Pennington garage. So there is currently an additional security guard walking the Pennington garage in the evening hours, 7 days a week. That will end May 30th in just 3 days. We didn't want to go through the end of June with that. We're hopeful that with the with school being out, that issue will reduce. So $173,000 on the menu for next fiscal year. And I'll take any questions.
Okay, I don't see any hands up. No questions? Okie doke. Moving along. Thank you very much. Subcommittee reports, starting with finance and capital needs. Did you guys meet this month?
We did have a meeting on May 22nd. And Dale, if you want to, if you want me to go through the notes, I'm more than happy to, or you can. And Dale, if you're trying to speak, you're muted. I'm not sure if you're trying to speak. Or maybe another member of the subcommittee wants to share. If not, I can share. Okay.
Why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Glenn. Got it. Yeah. Similar topics that we've shared today. We talked about meter status, parking service agent staffing levels, our parking meter enforcement hours. We looked at a parking meter reservations analysis. This was a comparison of the cost of labor internally to conduct meter hooding versus the revenue. Looking at that case, we're making three times the revenue compared to our costs. So that is a moneymaker. However, the request is to actually look at if the meters were not reserved and they were just, you know, offered to the public, how much revenue would we be losing or making, and looking at that. I promised to come back to the subcommittee with that information. And the initial thought, just off the top of my head, is that we do make more money reserving parking meters because the customer is essentially paying for every hour that the meter is being used during the enforcement hours, versus a parking meter that may or may not be occupied during the day. But I will get back to the committee on that. We looked at transient parking revenue trends in the Centro Garage. The Centro Garage area did have a few tenants leave, Hi-Fi. There was also a water pipe burst in the garage that unfortunately damaged some of the leased areas, commercial leased areas below. So we wanted to look at Centro Garage. And overall, you know, month over month, we did see a fluctuation. We actually did have a high month in April. But the guidance is to actually look at year over year. So I'm going to come back to the subcommittee on the year over year numbers. We looked at the financial statements and the capital expenditures plan that we just reviewed. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Sounds like productive subcommittee meeting.
Yes, we met earlier part of May, and most of what we talked about has been covered already in this agenda. I think one thing that I wanted to mention from our subcommittee that came up when we were talking about the Mercado parking plan and the meter enforcement, meter extension enforcement beginning on June 2nd, is that we were hearing from Tom that signage will go out right around 5/16, May 16th. That there will be a 3-week grace period for the Mercado since they've not had any paid parking, and a 2-week kind of grace and education period for the other districts. There was conversation that kind of education period could be extended if we thought that it needed to be. Tom, did I get all those details right? And maybe that's worth a quick conversation.
Thank you, Zach. Exactly. We talked about a 2-week grace period for the downtown area and a 3 to 4 week grace period for Mercado. After the subcommittee meeting, internally, staff does like the 4-week grace period for the Mercado district. So if the subcommittee doesn't have, or the commission doesn't have any objections, we would like to go with a 4-week grace period at the Mercado district.
But only for the Mercado. You're keeping it at 2 for the other areas?
Correct. We can also, what we will do is look at the amount of warnings issued during those 2-week periods. And if there's still a very high number of warnings being issued leading up to that 2-week grace period, we can extend it another week.
Great. Yeah, Madam Chair, that's all from me. Everything else we talked about again was covered in the agenda this morning, so I'll leave it there.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much. Next on to neighborhood and residential, which I apologize for missing, but
that happened. We spoke about the Benedictine Event Center and the changes being made to that space. The
Which space is that?
Benedictine.
Oh, yeah.
Then we also talked about the women's games at the U of A, and there had been a request to enforce the parking for those games as we do the men's games, which will probably not move forward.
Okay.
Did I miss anything?
No, those were the two main topics.
Can I ask what the Benedictine's plan is for their parking?
Yes. So right now it's going to be a wait and see. So the Benedictine is mostly concerned with their employee parking. There is no residential permit program or any programs in that neighborhood. The Benedictine is just east of the Park Tucson core boundary country club. So we don't offer parking programs there. If Mayor and Council directed Park Tucson to expand Park Tucson's boundary, we could definitely do that. So the plan is to have the employees park behind the Benedictine along the north-south roadway there. Forgetting the name of the road, it might be Anderson. There's always an open curb there. There's no parking restrictions. It looks like you can accommodate almost 50 vehicles on that stretch, on that block, without, you know, having to go into the neighborhood. And then we also talked about the customer parking. The Benedictine is going to conduct paid parking in two dirt lots north of their north of the venue. It won't be able to accommodate all of the customers for a full, you know, audience, but it would accommodate a majority of them. And we're going to see, monitor that and see if any adjustments need to be made.
I would imagine the neighborhood is going to eventually request to have a parking permit plan, because if they're talking about bringing in an audience of 700 people for shows and they don't fit in the dirt lots, they will filter through the neighborhood and people who live there will be probably unhappy.
Absolutely. Coincidentally, the city staff member that reviews parking plans, IPPs, for applicants is a resident of the neighborhood. And so he is well aware and would, and as stated that he will talk to his neighbors about the impacts of the Benedictine and future requests. So the neighborhood's well aware of what their options are.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that those are only dirt lots because he bought the buildings that are there and raised them.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
I had heard that. I think that it's going to probably have to turn into a valet parking situation for the venue, something to that effect. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah,
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add customer communication is going to be provided to for the customers who buy tickets with parking information. The operators are going to encourage rideshare, Uber and Lyft as well. So just wanted to throw that out there that they're going to communicate parking and drop off instructions to their customers.
Okay, thank you. That'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, because when it's not operating as a venue, it's still going to be a bar and a restaurant. Anywho, is that going to be it for neighborhood?
Yes.
Alrighty. Did marketing meet?
Yes, and I don't see that Zach Baker's on the call, so I was... this is Graham. I was at that meeting. A lot of what Tom covered earlier today relative to communications for the distribution of the parking information cards, the newsletter and website communications, and extension of parking meter enforcement hours communications update was all covered, covered, and approved by the marketing committee. Also, the new sign on the Centro Garage, as well as new signage going up for the tool lot entrance. And that was it.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. Right on for future agenda items. One is to elect a new chair, and two, does anybody want to be the Park Tucson representative on Complete Streets? So that should be added if nobody wants to volunteer to the next agenda as well.
Okay, so I will add for the future agenda the Complete Streets representative.
Yeah, they meet, I think it's the last Wednesday. I always get this stuff confused. But again, like I said at the last meeting, it's really fun. It's very connected with parking and getting to kind of communicate with transit folks and learn a lot about how, you know, the Prop 411 money is being distributed for safety features, and the commission votes on, or the committee votes on, you know, different projects that have requested money for neighborhoods. And it's very informative, and it's a good group of people. So that's it. All right, everybody.
Yes, me too.
What?
Agendize the letter. Approval of the letter.
Oh, yeah, on the letter. Thank you.
Got it. And I will send an email to the commission with a proposed date or two for a special meeting.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for being a rad group of people to work with. And I will still be coming around because, you know, I have my gripes about parking.
Thanks, but Jill.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.